Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
Our stories from the Mohawk Valley Readathon begins. 28 entries in my recent contest. We announced the winners last week, and we're going to read you their stories. They came from all over the area and really from a lot of people who are Mohawk Valley expats, people who live somewhere else. But we're starting with a story that was an entrant from a local person who lives right here in Amsterdam. And in fact, her story has to do with her family's activities for the past number of generations. And the family has a name which really means something. The family name is Sweet.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
The story by Deborah Baronello of Amsterdam is called The Story of Sweet Ice. In Amsterdam, on October 16, 1917, our great uncle, Waterman Sweet Jr., was shot by a detective in a news store on East Main Street. He was badly wounded but recovered. The detective was later fined $2,000 for shooting him. When Waterman Sweet died, he still had the bullet in him. On December 31, 1919, Waterman Sweet Sr., our great-grandfather, was partners with Peter and Victor Martin. They were dealers in ice. Sweet and Martin and Company, Fort Johnson, was dissolved in January 1928. On December 30, 1927, Waterman Sweet Jr., Victor and Peter Martin started West End Ice Company, buying and selling ice. October 27, 1936, W. Sweet Ice Company was a retail and wholesale ice business. June 1950, W. Sweet Ice Company was then run by our grandfather, John R. Sweet, at 270 Division Street in our garage. Recently, while renovating the garage, my sister and I were cleaning the attic, and we found the W. Sweet Ice Company sign that was on one of the ice trucks, still with the red paint and white letters on them. The present Sweet Ice Company Antique Shop at 270 Division Street was started in 1942 as Thayer's Confectionery Store by proprietor George Thayer. A little bit about the Sweet family. Isn't that remarkable? All kinds of things have happened to the Sweet family, from the shooting to starting a number of businesses with the name Sweet in it, because it was their name, including the current one, the Sweet Ice Company Antique Shop, 270 Division Street. That entry from Deborah Baronello of Amsterdam about Sweet Ice.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Our next story comes from a frequent voice on the morning show, Peter Betts, his tale about airplanes in the Mohawk Valley.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to me, our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun.
Peter's story is entitled The Day Everyone in Amsterdam Looked into the Sky. The 1920s saw great progress in the aircraft industry's drive to produce larger and faster planes. Businessmen already envisioned commercial airlines, but first, someone had to design a plane both investors and travelers would have confidence in. Enter William Bushnell Stout, an aeronautical engineer and bombastic salesman, who in 1922 sent a letter to America's 20 leading industrialists, including Henry and Edsel Ford, asking for $1,000 development money from each. He wrote, quote, "For your $1,000, you get only one definite promise. You will never get your money back." His approach succeeded, and with his $20,000, he founded the Stout Metal Airplane Company. The body of Stout's revolutionary airplane was a light aluminum alloy. It could be outfitted for cargo or passenger service, would run, if necessary, on only one of its three Wright air-cooled engines, was ruggedly constructed, reliable, 8 are still flying, easy to service, and with its ability to carry 15 passengers, one lunch-making steward, and two pilots, 500 miles at 90 miles per hour, the Ford Trimotor, or Tin Goose, became the first successful transcontinental commercial airliner. Ford purchased Stout's expertise and company in 1925 and turned out 199 planes in 6 years. In August 1929, Charles Schenck, Secretary of the Amsterdam Chamber of Commerce, and Amos Strobeck, President of the Amsterdam Air Board, succeeded in bringing an Army Air Service Trimotor to Fulton and Montgomery counties to promote building a large regional airport. The recorder crowed, "This will be the first visit of a ship this size to Amsterdam." Mr. Schenck, Mayor Carl Salmon, and Mr. Strobeck will join the huge plane at Johnstown. While in the air, a luncheon will be served by the steward. The plane will appear over Amsterdam and will circle the city. Everyone, including school children, were encouraged to go outside and look skyward when they heard the three powerful engines overhead. But where would it land? There was a location already prepared on the Mariahville Road, 3 miles outside the city, which Strobeck and his air board were already calling the Amsterdam Municipal Airport. After landing, the ship was opened to public inspection with competent members of the crew to explain various features. Again, that last from the recorder's story. Well, what happened? What became of Amos Strobeck's air board and the Amsterdam Airport project? 2 months later, the 1929 stock market crash brought everyone's mind back to earth.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to meet our thunder. Adam, boys, give her the gun.
And that essay by Peter Betts, who's Fulton County historian, frequent caller to WBTL's morning show. That essay was one of our top 10 essays in the stories from the Mohawk Valley Contest. On the program tomorrow, we'll have these stories. Liz Andrzejczyk Biondi of Long Island writes about a June night in 1959 when a fire on Amsterdam's Reed Hill strengthened her close bond with her sister. And also tomorrow, we'll hear this essay of our fourth prize winner, Grace DeChant of Scotia, who recalls being stranded in Canajoharie for 2 days on a Greyhound bus during a blizzard in 1966. The readathon has begun. The stories from the Mohawk Valley Contest, the book that started it all, my history book, Stories from the Mohawk Valley, is available everywhere. You can find signed copies at the Old Peddler's Wagon on Church Street and the Bookhound on East Main Street in Amsterdam.